Support for Under the Radar comes from Wellwithall. Wellwithall believes that self-care is community care. Premium products crafted for your daily wellness, from sleep support to heart health to your daily regimen. 20% of Wellwithall's profits are committed to leading the fight for health equity. They won't stop until it is truly Wellwithall.
I'm Callie Crossley, and this is Under the Radar with Callie Crossley. And now for the part of the show we call Lunyap. That's Creole for something extra. America loves hot sauce. There is a National Hot Sauce Day, and about half of all Americans have some kind of hot sauce in their home pantry. Given Greater Boston's reputation for cuisine that is the opposite of spicy, you might be surprised that Massachusetts has a long history with hot sauce. The first bottle cayenne sauces appeared here in 1807. These days, hot sauce consumption in Greater Boston has skyrocketed, boosting sales of locally produced hot sauce. Perfect timing for the debut of the Rhythm and Spice Hot Sauce Fest next Saturday. Joining me now, Nicola Williams, producer of the Rhythm and Spice Hot Sauce Fest and president of the Williams Agency. Hi, Nicola.
Hello, Callie. How are you?
I'm good. Also with me, actually in studio, Brian Ruhlman, founder and owner of Crack Sauce, a small batch hot sauce company in Lowell, Massachusetts. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Callie. Excited to be here.
Excited to have you. And also with me, Megan Elias, director of the food studies programs at Boston University. Thanks for joining us, Megan.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
All right, Nicola, I've got to start with you. Rhythm and Spice, this is the premiere, the debut, the inaugural Rhythm and Spice Hot Sauce Fest. But it grew out of something you were already doing, which is the Jerk Fest. If folks hadn't heard about that, that was extremely popular over the years. In fact, here's an ad for Boston's Jerk Fest in 2022.
Be ready to come and celebrate Jamaica's 60th anniversary of independence at the 9th annual Boston Jerk Fest. Yes, yes, yes. Music, spice, fun, food at its best. You're not getting nothing less.
There you have it, Nicola. You were inviting everybody who liked jerk chicken. I never was able to come. It was always a day I wasn't around. But obviously you had a lot of fans, and that inspired you to take the spiciness from the Jerk Fest and make it something in and of itself. Tell us about how Rhythm and Spice came to be.
Well, I am so thrilled. Thank you. As a Jamaican, spice is in my blood. And so the Jerk Fest, you know, we're celebrating 11 years this year, this summer, and we've always had a spice lane. So when we came back post-COVID in 2022, we wanted to sort of have its own section. We had a lot more space to spread around. And so, because we've got grass, and so we decided to have a dedicated space to hot sauces and spices. And it's already a spicy festival, but why not highlight and support our local spice makers, which is an industry, as you shared, that's growing significantly. And during COVID, a lot of people made hot sauce. So this industry has blown up. So happy to have Craig, because they were part of that festival, and they come back every year. And this Rhythm and Spice Hot Sauce Fest is really just a spicy explosion in Cambridge that we're going to have. And from spicy drinks to hot peppers from local farmers to, you know, spicy foods. So if you like spice, that's the place to be.
Okay. And as we know, Brian Ruhlman, who is the founder and owner of Crack Sauce, small batch hot sauce company in Lowell, Massachusetts, you can have a spectrum of spice because, as you say, your crack sauce, which has an Irish flavor to it, you'll explain, is not as spicy as perhaps some of the other ones that'll be featured at Nicola's festival.
Sure. Yeah. we love peppers and always love the heat and the flavor of them, but we really try to use other vegetables, fruits, cooking styles that complement the flavors of those peppers so that it's not overwhelming, that you're not hallucinating from the capsaicin coming in, and you're really enjoying the flavors and using them as kind of like a shortcut to flavor.
And the capsaicin is the hot part of hot sauce.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. It's a kind of the chemical that makes hot sauce hot or peppers hot. And it's actually a neurological trigger. So it's not kind of actually burning your mouth. It's sending those signals, which is interesting.
So as one of the local producers in Massachusetts, do you have the field wide open? But Nicola said a lot of people started making their own sauces. So this is something that is spreading, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, you're doing it as a business. I want to be clear, but go ahead.
Yeah, I got down this hot sauce path in 2014 by having a kind of a work project that spilled into just my own passion. And that was 2014. I had to look a lot farther to find local hot sauces and sauces in different countries. But it's really increased in popularity. COVID was certainly something that had more people come into it, but I think it's great. I see this kind of like the trend of craft breweries, that there are like your more local neighborhood hot sauces, and there's an endless opportunity for different flavor innovation. So there's a lot of room out there.
So Megan, I want to go over to you and talk about how we've gotten to a place where spicy in general is something that really is attractive to a lot of the American palate. It's really expanded in that direction. And before you give us all of the history that we know about it, let's give a couple of examples of what we're seeing pop up that shows how much hot sauce in particular has become popular. Here's former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton talking about hot sauce during an interview on the New York Morning radio program, The Breakfast Club.
What's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Are you getting information right now?
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce in my bag, Swag?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Now listen, I just want you to know, people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people.
Okay. Is it working?
Yeah. I love that clip. And one of the things that we have learned about as people get the palate, the American palate gets more adjusted, it seems to me, a more embracing of the spiciness of foods. All kinds of products now advertise themselves as spicy. Here's McDonald's when they rolled out spicy chicken nuggets in 2020 to huge success. And YouTuber Spice King reviewed two of their accompanying spicy sauces in 2021.
McDonald's came out with two new spicy sauces. And considering that I haven't tried either one of them, I'm going to let you know which one of them is the best. Can we all just take a moment to appreciate the fact that they brought these spicy chicken nuggets back?
There we are, Megan. I set it up for you.
Thank you.
Tell us why so much interest in spicy and hot, and why something like the Rhythm and Spice Hot Sauce Fest just makes sense right now.
Yeah, so there is a really, really long history of use of hot and spicy foods in the Americas. The capsicum comes from the Americas, and it was then exported out to Europe and to the rest of the world, really crucially. So it ends up in South Asia and it ends up in Africa, getting kind of involved in the foods there. And then eventually kind of comes back to the U.S., definitely through the popularity of Chinese food, which really began in the early 19th century even. And it never, you know, it never went away in Central America. So just as Americans become more open to trying other people's foods, right, which is something that we really see through the 20th century, through popular media about food. You know, the Food Network just made a huge impact, and that starts around 1990 in introducing people to all kinds of flavors that they hadn't thought about. And there's a real shift in American restaurant culture. So people being able to afford going out to meals that aren't going to like just be for special occasions, they're not going to break the bank. That's something that happens really starting in the 1970s and 1980s. And when you're going out, you're going to want more variety, right? It's just out there, right? What can I get out that I can't get at home. And, you know, those kind of burning sensations on the tongue are something new for a lot of people. And then, of course, for a lot of Americans, it's not new at all. It's just, you know, just sort of part of the tradition, part of the culinary heritage that comes along with their grandma's food even. So then there's recently been a kind of resurgence in really hot sauces especially. And I think that's partly because it's something that's pretty easy to make. And it can be, you know, you don't need a lot of fancy equipment. You don't need a lab. You just need some bottles, some vinegar, maybe some peppers, and all of those things are cheap and easy to get. And you can have fun with it. So like Ryan's funny name for his sauce is something that's really going to draw people's attention. You know, what's going on? Is there crack in here? What is he really talking about? What is this strange word? So it's, I think, one of these great examples of how Americans play with food, right? How we enjoy things like the challenge of eating something really, really spicy, and how funny people look when they're, you know, they've eaten something too hot. And it's, you know, it's a challenge, but it's also something you recover from pretty quickly. So it's not really dangerous. But I think all of these things together really support a really continued interest in hot and spicy sauces.
If you're just tuning in, this is Under the Radar with Callie Crossley. I'm Callie Crossley, and I'm speaking with Nicola Williams, producer of the inaugural Rhythm and Spice Hot Sauce Fest, Brian Rollman, founder of Crack Sauce, and Megan Elias, director of the Food Studies Programs at Boston University. We're talking about the upcoming Hot Sauce Festival and the popularity of spicy food in Greater Boston. Well, you've mentioned a couple things. First of all, crack, that C-R-A-I-C means good fun in Irish. So Brian gets a kind of a double entendre with the name, but that's what it means. But I wanted to pick up the piece because that's what's happening in Nicola's Rhythm and Spice is the whole overlap of cultures contributing to the palate of Americans in general becoming spicier. Here's a clip from a TED Talk by Denver Nix. He wrote a book about the power of hot sauce.
I'm a white guy from eastern Oklahoma, not exactly a traditional hot sauce hotspot. But when I'm sick, I don't want chicken noodle soup. I want Vietnamese pho. I am who I am because of the way immigrants transformed and enriched the culture I grew up in. And so are you. If you like hot sauce, you don't just like multiculturalism. You are multiculturalism.
So continuing that, Nicola, I just want to talk about the spice that reflects the diaspora that you're going to have available for folks to sample at Rhythm and Spice. Talk about what the Haitians are bringing, the Jamaicans are bringing, and we know Brian's bringing his. So tell us more about that.
So Jamaicans will bring in, they're going to bring on the jerk. Haitians will have pickles, which is made of local cabbage and a hot pepper like Scotch bonnet pepper or habanero. We also have Bangladesh chutney that's spicy as well, with garlic and mango and a lot of the tropical flavors. We have Mexican salsa. We've got Americanized bone sauce, award-winning bone sauce there. We even have peppers, hot peppers. So if you want to go home and plant your peppers in your garden or in your window, you can grab a pepper plant. We have, you know, it crosses the board. In terms of the challenges, we wanted to make sure that we really highlight and elevate the diversity, that global diversity in our food culture. So we have a spicy Jamaican vegetarian and beef patty challenge. We have a spicy pizza challenge with a local Black-owned restaurant right here in Cambridge. We have wings, and we're going to have three categories of flavors, from African sauces for the competition to jerk to hot sauce from all over the world. And so we want to make sure that we infuse all of this spice throughout the event. We also have dance, so you can shake it off after you've blown your mouth or palates and expose them to spicy drinks and spicy foods.
And I hear spicy cocktails.
Spicy cocktails, of course, spicy cocktails. And we have local beer that's designed to pair with spicy foods that's going to be there made right in our backyard in Dorchester. So we are really excited about the flavor. There's local first. I'm a locavore, so as much as possible local with that global international flavor that's weaved throughout the festival.
So I want to pick up on the localness, Brian, with you, because you said 100% of your peppers come from local farm, from Massachusetts farms, and you're making also handcrafted vinegars that go using those peppers. What does the Massachusetts soil give you that you might not get someplace else?
So I've been learning a lot in the past couple years as we've done some of our own growing. It's just soil really differs farm to farm. So we work with now 18 different farms. We're talking with them in the winter so that they can plan for what we foresee us needing to source. And in Massachusetts, kind of specifically our region, you're kind of cut. There's a little short of the time window with the frost. So the frost will kill peppers and tomatoes. So we have to try to source as much as we can in that window, kind of, and we different farmers push it in different ways and have different methods. So,
but you can get plenty of variety just from Massachusetts farms.
Yeah, and I didn't think that initially, but by doing a lot of farmers markets and just networking with other growers, you learn what they make, and sometimes there's certain things that you're looking for that you can't find, but there's something that's totally different that they are growing in and available. So we try to best forecast and work with farmers to meet our needs, but then at the same way, we like to adjust and flex based on what is available that other farms are growing and trying to sell.
Now, you make a variety of hot sauces. What is one food pairing that you really enjoy? Because Nicola just told us there's going to be beers that are you're there that go specifically with hot sauces. What food would you say for your sauces you particularly think is a great match?
Great. You might expect like kind of some of the classics, but I'm going to go with some funny random one that I found in college. You got hummus. A little plus if you make it yourself. Great freshly grated Parmesan cheese and dip pretzels.
That is my
number one favorite way to use and kind of trial different hot sauces. But I actually think of hot sauce as an extension of salt and pepper. I put it in almost every single meal. Sometimes I'm putting it on top of things. Oftentimes I'm adding it to a dish. And I'm not blowing my mouth off. I don't think I'm totally crazy. So that's what we do a lot of education on, is just thinking as this hot sauce as something that you can add to meals and have some extra flavor as opposed to sending you to the moon.
Okay. Megan, I want to pick up on something you said a little earlier about some of these hot, spicy sauces coming from Asia, and particularly the influence of the Food Network. Here's Food Network celebrity chef Sunny Anderson making her Sunset Park noodle bowl in 2017. Also a food blogger talking about a viral recipe, and a vegan chef making a brand new creation talking about what? Gochujang.
I'm going to start with what I really truly love about this. It does so much work. This is gochujang.
What?
Yeah, gochujang. I fell in love with this in 1993 in South Korea when I was serving there in the military, and I'm so happy to say now you can literally find this at the grocery store next to where sriracha and ketchup are.
I finally made the viral gochujang pasta, and it did not disappoint. This is not for the weak of heart, though, you guys. It does have quite a kick, but it's balanced out perfectly by the cream.
I love putting gochujang on my peanut butter toast, and I love Reese's peanut butter cups. So I wondered, would a gochujang Reese's be any good? Well, I had to go ahead and find out.
My point is that there are a lot of that kind of spice coming from Asia, and you said actually ketchup came from there originally.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So Americans have a long history of using condiments to spice things up. We used to have a lot of different kinds of ketchups. Old cookbooks are full of recipes for them. Ketchup originally comes from Southeast Asia and then was sort of like disseminated through colonialism and then comes to the Americas with the English. And people made it with all kinds of things. They made it with walnuts, they made it with mushrooms. Eventually, it just, you know, through the Heinz family, it becomes mainly associated with tomatoes, but it packed a lot more punch originally too. It was meant to be something that spiced up whatever you had. And that's the cool thing about these things, right? That there's just you just need a little, like Ryan is saying, to make something more exciting.
I tell you, and now of course, gochujang is the ultimate spicy kind of
Oh,
ketchup, you
yes.
know, so it really adds a lot of flavor. And as Brian says about salt and pepper, it's definitely doing that. Okay, we might suspect that jerk chicken is your favorite food match for hot sauce, Nicola, but I'm going to ask you, is that it? Or what do you like most to match your hot sauce with?
Eggs.
Oh,
I love
okay.
hot sauce on eggs, and like you know, Brian said that it's a condiment. It's like salt and pepper for us. You know, we our family, my brothers, they compete all the time. You know, who can have the hottest, you know, sauce. Every time I travel to a different city, I bring back hot sauce, because we have a family of just growing up with spice. So it's a condiment for us. But certainly chicken, certainly you can put it, you know, on ice cream. And watermelon, hot sauce on watermelon is amazing. And so it, you know, it can go on anything like salt and pepper, like Brian's saying.
Wow. And you'll have so many foods for people to, you know, match and try and sample. Nicole, you wanted to make the point because, and Brian has already made it, that his hot sauce is not as hot as some of the ones you've mentioned, and you'll have a variety of those sauces, the spectrum, at the Rhythm and Spice Festival.
From mild to hot. And we also have chef demos, so you can try. You know, what's great about the Foundry is that it has a kitchen lab.
The
So,
Cambridge Foundry, which is where it's going to be located.
yeah, the Cambridge Foundry in Kendall Square, they have a kitchen lab. So we're gonna be having a variety of chefs showcase, you know, how to make pepper sauce or African spicy pepper sauce with Puff Puff, or Crack is going to be there also doing something, Brian. And Curio Spice, based in Cambridge, they have a variety of spices, including a new collaboration of Jollof Spice. So they're going to be doing a demo. Wise Mouth Tea, they're going to be doing one as well. Chef Jason is going to, you know, do a variety of from mild to spicy hot sauces. And we even have avocado tea sandwiches with mango chow. So quite a variety of palates. You don't have to be you won't have to burn your mouth to be here. You just have to be open to having a great time because it's going to is there's something for everyone, all ages too. You'd be surprised. Young kids, they start young and they actually sometimes participate in the spicy challenges.
Because I grew up with it, like you.
Exactly.
Yes.
I grew up with
Yeah.
it. And they're, you know, it's something that's natural for them, like salt and pepper.
So Megan, we know that there's all kinds of hot sauce fans out there. Do you see this as a trend, or now is hot sauce and spiciness in general embedded in the palate forever, the American palate?
Oh, I think it has to be embedded in the American palate. Yeah, because, well, for one thing, why would you go back, right? And
Good
then
point.
because we continue to see you know, immigration from different parts of the world, and most of the rest of the world has some kind of hot spice in their repertoire. So I think we're just going to get more and more varieties, and it will become, you know, it will be absolutely normal, but also always really fun.
Well, I appreciate hearing about all of this spiciness. I love it all. I'm looking forward to sampling some of it. And good for you, Nicola, in tapping into the hot sauce fiends of Greater Boston and beyond. So thank you all for joining me.
Thank you.
Nicola Williams is the producer of the Rhythm and Spice Hot Sauce Fest and president of the Williams Agency. Brian Ruhlman is the founder and owner of Crack Sauce, a small batch hot sauce company in Lowell, Massachusetts. And Megan Elias is the director of the Food Studies Programs at Boston University. That's it for this week's edition of Under the Radar with Callie Crossley. Listen to us online at GBH News or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on X, formerly Twitter, and Facebook to stay up to date with our programming. Under the Radar with Callie Crossley is a production of GBH, produced by Jesse Steinmetz and our intern, Tu Lee. Our engineer is Dave Goodman. Our theme music is Fish and Chips by We Are Two Saxies, Grace Kelly and Leo P. Listen again on Wednesday and see you here at 6 p.m. next Sunday for a new episode. I'm Callie Crossley. Thanks for listening.